So I'd like you to go to Second Timothy chapter 1, be not ashamed. And I want to read entire chapter, beginning of verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I served for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light to the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast now the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Philegius and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he hath oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Paul admonishes young Timothy to not be ashamed of the testimony, or not be ashamed because he knows who he's believed and persuaded that he's able to keep that which is committed unto him against that day. Not being ashamed. Some of the things that Paul experienced, maybe somebody would be ashamed of the beatings that he suffered, the whippings, the imprisonments, and so forth. But he says, don't be ashamed of those things. You know, many people are not ashamed of a lot of things that they should be. We've got a former Olympic athlete that is proud to be called courageous for playing extreme dress up. You have a professional football player and players and others that are called courageous for announcing that they are homosexual. But if you're proud of your Christianity, then that's something that you're supposed to be ashamed of and greatly castigated for. Politicians are repeatedly exposed for the lies that they've told, and so many that they can't even keep track of them, yet they continue to parade around the country promoting themselves and spouting even more lies. You know, you don't need to turn there, but let me read a verse from Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6, and this is actually repeated in chapter 8 and verse 12. But in Jeremiah 6 and verse 15, it says this: were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall, at the time that I visit them, that they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. The people of Israel should have been ashamed for their sins, the abominations which they committed. And these that I referenced, and so many, many more, ought to be ashamed. But it says they can't even blush. They don't even blush about the evil and the wickedness that they're a part of. No shame. No shame for the awful things that they do. But sadly, oftentimes we Christians are ashamed at things we ought not to be ashamed of. Things that we ought to be courageous about and bold about. But yet we're ashamed of those things. I want to think about some things we ought, as Christians, ought not to be ashamed of. First, we ought to not to be ashamed of the testimony that we have. Look at verse 8 again. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power." Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." We ought not to be ashamed of our testimony. We ought not to be ashamed to give our testimony. Paul readily and boldly proclaimed the gospel in every place he went, regardless of those present or the consequences that he would face there for doing so. And he encouraged Timothy to be the same. Don't be ashamed, Timothy. Never be ashamed to identify with Jesus Christ or to testify of what God has done for you. In fact, we ought to be more bold and speaking up about it. That's, I think, one of the problems in our country is Christians aren't bold enough in their testimony for Jesus Christ. Sometimes we're more bold about politics and other things than we are about our testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying we ought not to speak up on other areas, but the primary responsibility that we have is to speak for Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors for him, and we're not to be ashamed of that. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation. The thing that's changed our lives is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the testimony that we have because of that. It's changed our lives, and it can change other people's lives as well. But secondly, think about this. It's from God. Our testimony is from God. It's what he has given to us. And it's of what God has done for us. Psalm 107, verse 2 says this. Psalm 107:2. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Speak up, Christian. Speak for Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed. There's a story told about a young preacher. He had been a pastor in his church for a few years. And one day, as he stood up to preach in the pulpit, he was handed a note. And it said this: "Aren't you ashamed of yourself? Aren't you?" And you're up there telling people to get right with God. And then the writer listed all the past sins that this preacher had been guilty of, all the things that he had done before he was saved that this writer thought that he ought to be ashamed of. That preacher bowed his head in prayer, looked up to the congregation, told them of the note, and then read it to them. Read all the things that this writer said that he ought to be ashamed of. And then he said this: "Yes, I am ashamed of myself, but I'm not ashamed of my Savior." Folks, I got some things that I'm ashamed of in my life before I was saved and even afterwards. But I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to speak for him if I give him the opportunity. Too often we make it the whole thing about us, though. It's not about us. It's about him. We need to magnify him. We need to testify of him. I'm a debtor to him. We all are debtors to him by what he's done for us. The gospel saved us. It saved us completely. There's nothing left to be done. He's done everything that's needed to be done to give us our salvation once we received that. He placed me into a new family. He gave me eternal life. Don't be ashamed of the testimony. Don't be ashamed of the consequences of the gospel. Let me go again to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and let's read verse 8 again, read verses 8 down through 12. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The suffering that Paul was going through, the consequences of his preaching the gospel, the imprisonments that he'd suffered, not ashamed. He accepted that. He wore that as a badge. He spoke about the scars that he had from the whippings that he experienced, the beatings, and all the other forms of punishment that he received simply for being unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, folks, everything in our lives happens for a purpose. Everything in our lives is filtered to the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. We resist some of those things. We fight against them. We're not to be ashamed. If God allows something into our lives, it's because he has a purpose in that. Now, certainly there are some things that happen because, as someone said, the reason certain things happen is because we're stupid and make bad choices. Someone else said life is tough. It's even tougher if you're stupid. And you know what? A lot of times, well, maybe not a lot, but some of the times, the things that happen to us are just because we've made a bad choice. We didn't seek God's will and direction in our lives for the choice that we made, and we suffer the consequence for it. But sometimes there's some evil that befalls us, some difficulties, some trials, and it's because God has a purpose in it. God's working to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, and we need not to be ashamed of these things. Paul wrote this letter to Timothy from prison. He was in jail for preaching the gospel. Let me read a couple of passages here to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's everything. Not just the good things, not just the things we've prayed for and come as an answer to that prayer, not just the things that we want to have in our lives, but even the things that we would label as bad things, trials, heartaches, and everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. Yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You want to experience something? Well, do some street work, street ministry. Jason is getting ready to get back and doing some street preaching up at Penn State again. That's a challenge. And you need not be ashamed of your testimony there. You're definitely going to get some questions, some ridicule, just some mockery and so forth. But don't be ashamed of that. Accept that. You know, what was that verse again? Verse 16. If anyone suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Glorify God on your behalf. That's a good thing. You ought to try that sometime. Just get up there and see how that goes. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation of my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul says, I don't care what happens to me. I don't care what my experience is. I just want Jesus Christ to be magnified. Even if it's death, that God can be magnified in that. Look down at verse 27, Philippians chapter 1. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Sometimes they can be a bit terrifying, but don't let them terrify you, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. The experiences of sufferings, they mock and they ridicule and see, where's your God in that? But it's a proof that our God loves us and cares for us as he takes us through those things and gets us out the other side. Verse 29, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. Don't be ashamed when that suffering comes, but seek that it might be used to honor and glorify God. Don't be ashamed of God's servants. Look again at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. That good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Paul had laid his hands on Timothy. Paul had trained him and prepared him for the ministry. And now he is pastoring the church at Ephesus. And he says, that good thing committed to you, that role, that responsibility you have of God, keep that. The Holy Ghost has given you that. Verse 15, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Not everybody stuck with Paul. Some people turned aside. Some even began to oppose him. He recognized that, but he accepted it as part of the suffering that he endured. Verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Here was a man that came to Paul in prison and ministered to him and provided for some of his just basic physical needs oftentimes. And he wasn't ashamed to have to go to the prison to do that. He wasn't ashamed of the fact that Paul was there in chains in that prison. He still was there caring for him because he loved him. Verse 17, but when he was in Rome, he oft sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. In at least two different places, Rome and Ephesus both, this Onesiphorus sought Paul out and ministered to him while he was in prison. Minister to those who are in suffering. Don't be ashamed of God's servants. Those chains can have many forms. We think about the fact that Paul being there in a prison and maybe in a dungeon and fastened to the wall with those chains, those physical chains. But there's a lot of other chains. Sometimes it's a mental chain. We need not to be ashamed of that. We need to minister to those who are bound in those chains, who struggle with some things mentally, who struggle with some things physically, not as a physical chain, but maybe some kind of a handicap or something. We need to not be ashamed of God's servants. Everybody's important in the sight of God. Everybody in the church is important in the sight of God. And we need to minister to each of those and not ashamed of them. And finally, we need to be not ashamed of his coming. Look at verse 12 again in 2 Timothy chapter 1. To which cause also I suffer these things. Again, the imprisonment and the beatings and all the things, the mocking and the ridicule and the opposition. He says, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul had something in view. It was the long game. It wasn't just about what was happening to him at that moment, the situation that he found himself in. But there was something he was looking forward to, the return of Jesus Christ. He says, I've committed my life to him against that day. I'm committed to endure, to suffer, to bear any kind of burden, because there's an eternal reward awaiting me. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Herein is a love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. How is Jesus Christ in this world? He suffered. He was ridiculed. He was opposed. He was despised. He was hated. He suffered greatly, as he was. So are we in this world. But through all of that, he was bold to speak. In spite of whatever the consequences might be, he was bold, and so ought we to be. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith. Those that he's talked about thus far in this chapter, and with beginning with Cain and Abel and going on up through Sarah to this point. He says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. They looked for promises. They hadn't seen them fulfilled, but they saw them afar off. Because God had said they were coming, they counted on that. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 28. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Don't be ashamed. He says, if we're not ashamed before him, he'll not be ashamed to confess us before the Father. We need to be more bold in our witness, folks. We need to have more courage in being a witness for Jesus Christ, especially in this day in which we live today. This world needs Jesus Christ. It's not about who gets elected to the presidency or who gets elected to Congress the end of this year, but it's about Jesus Christ and lifting him up. He's the only hope. He's the only help for this nation. There's such a great divide today, folks. Jesus Christ is the only one that can bring a healing to this thing. And we, as his ambassadors for Christ, need to speak boldly for him. To your neighbors, to your friends, to your family, to your co-workers. Lift up Jesus Christ. let me close with this little statement or a couple of paragraphs by a guy named Bob Moorhead. I'm part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by presence, learn by faith, love by patience, lift up by prayer, and labor by power. My pace is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, my guide is reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, back up, let up, or shut up until I've preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, stayed up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until he returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, he'll have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone that believes. Amen. Let's pray. God, help us to have the courage to stand and boldness when we do. Help us, Father, to not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, but to speak quickly and boldly to others about it. To not be ashamed of the prisoners of the Lord, those who suffer in so many different ways. God, help us to not be ashamed of them, but be quick to minister to them, whatever their chains might be. Help us, God, to be different. The peculiar people that you desire for us to be in this world, to make a difference for eternity for Jesus Christ through our witness for him. God, we thank you again for this opportunity to be together in this way today. And just help us, oh God, to please and honor you, and as we come back together again, hopefully Wednesday night, just keep us safe, and especially those who need to be out and about today, help them be careful. Pray for those who are suffering as well. We think of Don and the recovery from his injuries, and just pray, if he's not, that he would be moved up to this area soon. We pray for Chastity as she is recovering and being treated for the burns that she suffered, and help her and ease the pain, God, that she is enduring through this. We thank you for the good results from Gary's procedure and Nathan's procedure, and others, God, that are facing some things. We pray for each of them. We thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, and it's in his name we pray. Amen. Have a good day, everyone. And be safe out.